Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
More than 50 years ago, Erich von Däniken published his arguably most influential piece of work, Chariots of the Gods, that posited extraterrestrials may have been represented as deities in the days of human antiquity. These figures in ancient mythology possessed advanced knowledge of things like mathematics, medicine, and even flight. The gods were often described as having divine craft that allowed them to travel vast distances over land in mere moments. One example are the vehicles flown by the gods taken from interpretations from Hindu mythology. It is said that some of these objects were powered by thought and could shine as bright as the sun when they took to the air. Descriptions that often seem to closely resemble modern reports of UFO sightings. This case file joined the theorists as they show they don't know a whole lot about the Mahabharata while discussing the manas.
Welcome to Alien Theorists Theorizing, Case File 193, Vimanas. I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Andrew.
I just want to start this one off to say that you know how nice it is to have a dedicated studio room again and not have to flip my mattress up against the wall to record? This is an absolute treat. Today. So I'm back in, I've got Island Studios fully set up again.
You're out of a conspiracies closet.
Yeah. Den of depravity. Yes. I'm out of there. Speaking of conspiracy, Andrew, you better watch yourself, man. I was getting some text messages from conspiracy about some Facebook.
The guys,
you guys were having.
The guy's a fucking career bully. Like, what am I supposed to do?
He said the same thing about you.
Huh?
You said the same thing about you.
Yeah, fucking right.
Aren't you going to meet him you're meeting him at the bike racks or something? Or?
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Beef? He's like, come on, guys, let's get conspiracy versus mongoose. Like, I'm like, yeah, man, you want to fight? Like, let me see if I can get the day off work and get somebody to watch my kids so we can go fight each other. Like,
this is fucking adults. Pay per view, mongoose versus conspiracy.
You know why? Mr. Conspiracy, he saw how much Jake Paul and all these YouTube TikTokers are making.
Exactly.
We can make a whole total of $35.
Yeah. How many pay-per-view pies will Conspiracy versus the Mongoose get?
All I said is like, dude, just find a different way to try and stay relevant. Like, we don't need to fight. Like, you can find another way to do it. Like,
uh-oh. You have
fighting words.
You opened up.
I don't know, man. Like, listen, I live pretty far away from the bridge he lives under, so I got a good head start to run away. But, you know, if I have to, I got it, right? I've been beat up before. It's fun.
Yeah. You survived.
One of the things I was thinking about when looking into this case today, while I was sweating all day trying to get the studio set up and crawling in crawl spaces, pushing spider webs out of my way, screaming and crying, trying to fix coaxial cables. One of the things I thought, I was like, why do you guys think that we're so quick to kind of discount technologies of the past civilizations? Like, do you guys think that there's a chance that some of these civilizations in the past have come up with these technologies that we've already, that we have now today? Like, they're just, we're just rehashing them now.
Like, they've been found, are identified before and used before.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think the reason we don't take it at face value is that either we don't have public access to the information or it hasn't been found. Like, you know, when they say, like today we're talking about Vimanas, and as far as we know, they haven't recovered one. It doesn't mean they didn't exist at one time.
Well, hey, the Avro Arrow existed at one time, and we can't find any remnants of that either.
You can if you know where to look.
Boys, we've all seen the video. Fucking Tyson McNeely, 1995. There's somebody in the crowd with an iPhone, right? Come on now.
It's true.
We got proof right there.
And that's not that long
ago. What more do you need? Listen, I'll tell you right now. Anything's fucking possible. I installed a new hard drive and got all this fucking thing figured out all by myself, all right? Anything is possible if you put your mind to it. You heard it here first.
Dan, what do you think?
I think, yeah, like Zell said, is we haven't found enough supporting evidence to kind of to put these ideas out there. So the, people can make all kinds of claims. Like, you can make a lot of claims about these things existing or civilizations were perhaps more advanced than we thought they were. And relatively more advanced, like perhaps some civilizations had devised, you know, units of measurement or standardized units of measurement or something like that. That's good. Like that's pretty much, that's feasible. But stuff like flight and, you know, electricity, circuits, things like these, which people have make a lot of claims, and I see they're all over the internet, but there's just like, there's not a lot to support them. So either they haven't found the evidence yet,
or
they're not able to infer, like they're not able to provide enough like pieces of the puzzle to be like, we can infer that these civilizations had it.
Or it's buried. They found it. They buried the information. It's all hidden in the Smithsonian basements and deep in the archives.
Right. It's hidden in the Antarctic.
Or in the Vatican.
Or in the Vatican.
Or in the Antarctica. Or in the Marianas Trench.
So that brings us to Vimanas. And what the hell is a Vimana?
Sounds badass.
I thought it was a drink.
Well, I'm sure.
Isn't that part of the fucking Beach Boys song?
Yeah, that's what I thought. Vimanas,
come on, pretty mamas.
Might be
Largo Montillo.
Might be close there.
I think so. Pretty sure.
So Vimanas, if you don't know, I think most... For really, like, Vimanas always comes up because it's one of the favorite topics of Ancient Aliens. Like, that shit always pops up. It's one of David Childress's favorite things to talk about, Vimanas. Eric von Daniken, yep, like, devotes a lot to it as well. Like, it's a lot of the ancient astronaut theory, like Vimanas. So Vimanas, factually, the word, the word actually means measuring out or traversing.
Flying machine.
What? Or flying machine? No.
No.
So literally in Sanskrit, it means that. So Vimana, you know, to some people represents some sort of flying machine. But we have descriptions from the Vedas, which are ancient Sanskrit epics and writings and things like this. So in Hindu scriptures, you have descriptions of these structures, or some people interpret them as powered aircraft, from ancient epics of India and Pakistan, some places like that. So they have these descriptions of these craft, for like that. That's what they like to describe them as, like the ancient alien crowd like to describe them as this. They have a couple of parts that they quote from the Sanskrit epics. So you have Sanskrit epics like the Ramayana and the Mahabharata, which are the two big ones, which are essentially the Iliad and the Odyssey of like Hindu culture.
Ancient, yeah.
So they're like ancient stories that tell of perhaps factual events, because the Iliad was always thought to be like a work of fiction. It was thought for a while like it was meant like that Troy never really existed, that it wasn't a real right. place until they actually found it, like, or they found what it was a good they're pretty sure it was somewhere in Turkey, and like they found structures and they're like, this is perhaps what the remains of Troy after it was destroyed in the Iliad.
Well, it's like, it's funny because so many people are so quick to scoff at mythology, right? And it's like, at the same time, it can be used as another form of fucking information in history. Mm-hmm. Like, you look at the Bible, for instance, you know, some might say it's all true, but, you know, most people are going to say, yeah. you know, yeah. there's parts of it that is true, though. There's actual factual history within that Bible.
Right.
Most of it, not so much. But so who's to say we got to discount all these other different forms of mythology, right?
Yeah.
Right. Agreed. And the Ramayana and the Mahabharata are known to be some of the oldest epic pieces of epic literature in the world. They're not the oldest, but they're definitely also, but they're the longest that we have. And they consist of nearly like 24,000 verses. So if you want to go through one of them, like you can find them very easily. They have publicly sourced translations online. Like you can find them and go through all of them. Most scholars put the text, like they date the text from probably the 7th to the 4th centuries BCE for the Ramayana. And the Ramayana narrates the life of Rama, who is a legendary prince from Ayodhya, which is a city in the kingdom of Kosala. Now, and then the Mahabharata narrates a struggle between two groups of cousins. So it's like a legendary war between two families and two princes.
Right,
and then
their successors. Who doesn't hate their cousins?
It's always a good story there. It sounds like an epic video game lore.
Yeah.
Right off the bat.
They're nuts. Like they're like in a crazy way. Like it's just like the Iliad and the Odyssey, which are really cool stories. There's a lot of stuff in there, mythology wise and, I know, epic wise. And there's a lot of descriptions of fantastical creatures and, you know, mythological weapons and things like that. So you get all this cool stuff. It's not unusual to see like there's gods and demons and ancient monkey gods, all kinds of neat stuff in there. So, you know, like Andrew said, some of the stuff that's contained within the Bible, not exactly can be taken literally, but there's a lot of stuff in there that are descriptions of historical events, which are supported today by like archaeological finds that we've managed to excavate and find evidence that like, yeah, this stuff actually happened.
Yeah.
So
it's cool. Even if you get only, you know, 5% of the stories are true, some of those 5% stories are mind-boggling.
Yeah, and so some of the biggest ones that the
so ancient, are we saying that basically the Bible's like Forrest Gump, where they made a character that goes through real events?
I mean, there's no singular character in the Bible. I don't like
the rest are support.
I don't know who you'd put as the singular character, but now you have things like the Mahabharata and the Ramayana have these descriptions of these vimanas. So vimanas, there's a couple of descriptions within these sacred texts that seem to indicate that these are some type of flying device. So one of the big quotes you'll get from some of the ancient astronaut lore is you'll get the, according to ancient Indian texts, and usually when they say that, they're referring to these two. Usually these two texts.
Yeah.
And then they say that people had these flying machines, which are vimanas, and they describe them as these double-decker or multi-layered circular aircraft with portholes or a dome on top.
Ancient and Indian theorists theorized that.
Like the descriptions of them are very reminiscent of, you know, like a dome saucer shape.
But yeah, and you have a couple of the, like, there's a couple different ones. Like, the descriptions in the actual books themselves seem to vary about right. what exactly a vimana looks like. So you do have some that seem to be described as that. A lot of them are described as, like, celestial chariots almost. So these are vehicles that are either conveyances of the gods, mm-hmm. or they are crafted by the gods and given to mortals as rewards for heroic deeds and whatnot. And that's the descriptions that you get from these epic poems.
It's the chariots of the gods. That's pretty sure where that's Daniken got his
name
for the book. Like that's what they call right. them. They refer to them as chariots of the gods. They're depicted in like ancient art as like carrying gods through the sky. Sometimes they look like the figures in them are wearing some type of flight suit in some of them.
It's funny because a lot of the times when I look at them, I see a pyramid shape, mm-hmm. like looking yeah. like a flying pyramid, which like lines up again with Terry Lovelace and the recent fucking sightings that we've had. I don't know how long ago, fucking pyramids.
Pyramid shape.
That's a good point too, because with the pyramid shapes, you know, we did watch that video of that recent jet that is pyramid shaped. It looks like a pyramid shape when it's from underneath, when it's flying. But again, that goes to the point of like, what better way to hide your craft than to make people go like, that's a UFO, because instantly people are going to be like, you didn't see that.
Yeah.
Like, it's genius.
And not all the crafts are pyramid shaped though. Some of them are depicted as kind of like a elongated, maybe cigar shaped, like a fat cigar. And that's the one they actually took on Ancient Aliens, and they put it in a wind tunnel, like a scaled down model that they had reverse engineered from the description.
A micro machine?
Damn, micro machines are awesome.
Yeah, with the vacuum set to blow.
Yeah, micro machine, Vimana, and they put it in an air tunnel, and it did generate mild lift, how they built it. Very right. mild.
And that diagram and that model the diagram that they used to model that craft is actually from another text, not the Ramayana or the Mahabharata, but there's another text called the Vaimanika Shastra, which is technically doesn't really qualify for ancient at this point. It's said to have been channeled or dictated to the actual author from the spirit world in 1918, and they put down these diagrams of these things.
So he's seen it in a dream, and then he wrote about it.
Right. So the text was like the existence of this text was actually put out in 1952 by the author, by J.R. Josier. And then he's saying that it was written by Pandit Subbaraya Shastri, who lived from 1866 to 1940.
Dan's killing the names, by the way.
Yeah.
Killing the names.
Practicing in the mirror before the fucking podcast, for sure.
Sweating.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he had it dictated to him by like an ancient,
a god or something?
Ghost. Well, ghost. Like a it was an important, it was a like a religious figure.
Or would you say a holy ghost?
I mean, to them, yeah, sure. It was like the ghost, like the spirit of like a holy man had given him the information about these Vimanas and like how they functioned, what they look like, what they were made of. So, like I said before, the actual Vimana that they make or they model in the Ancient Aliens one is actually a type from that book. There's actually like four different types within that book. So you have the Shakuna, the Sundara, the Rukma, and the Chapura Vimana. The Chapura Vimana is the one that they modeled in the Ancient Aliens episode. And that one is actually an all-terrain Vimana from descriptions within the book. It had retractable wheels.
Transmedium.
Yeah. So it could go from air to land to sea. It very much resembles a submarine. I don't know. I think Zella
G.I. Joe's can do that too.
Wait, so before I show the picture, so all four of these Vimanas are not directly translated from the texts? Or they're not
from the Ramayana or the Rig Vedas or any of the traditional Hindu texts. They're taken from the pictures of them, right. And the descriptions are taken from this other piece of literature, the Vaimanika Shastra, which was popped up in 1952.
Right. So those the two epics we're talking about, I'm not going to try and repeat them. They do talk about Vimanas that they were flying vehicles, but they don't really give the descriptions. We get the descriptions mainly from this one, or?
So, like, a direct translation of a description of the Vimana, there is one from the actual Ramayana. So, like, a standard translation goes like this. So, and the mighty monkey ascended the splendid car Pushpaka. So, Pushpaka was actually a type of Vimana in the, it's like a, it's translation something like flower car or like flower boat, something like that. So, the car Pushpaka, containing figures of wolves made of Kratasarara and Hiranya, graced with ranges of goodly pillars, as if blazing in splendor, throughout garnished with narrow secret rooms and saloons, piercing the heavens and resembling Meru or Mandara, and like unto the flaming sun, skillfully reared by Vikwakarma, with golden staircases and graceful and grand raised seats, rows of golden and crystal windows, and daises composed of sapphires, emeralds, and other superb gems, embellished with noble vidrumas, costly stones, and round pearls, as also with plastered terraces, pasted with red sandal like unto gold, and furnished with a sacred aroma, and resembling the sun new risen.
Quite right, yes.
Yeah.
Indubitably.
Indubitably.
Quite right.
Quite right.
So that is like, that's an actual description of a type of Vimana, like one of the flying conveyances that are.
I like the part about the monkey.
Call them a flying car.
You like the part about the monkey. Well, I mean, the famous monkey god from the Hindu is Hanuman. Like Hanuman is the famous monkey god from the Ramayana, the Ramayana. And he's a pretty cool dude in his own thing. Like, if you ever want to read a cool story, get a translation of the Ramayana or the Mahabharata, because they're fucking nuts. It's like it's epic fantasy story. Like you can't. There's gods fighting demons, and
we got spaceships. It's like fucking Star Wars, man, with like space monkey gods and stuff. Sounds awesome.
Yeah, like Hanuman, the Monkey King, essentially had all kinds of crazy powers. Like he could grow to giants. Well, he could grow to giant sizes. He could shrink himself down. He could grow like 100 arms and things like that. So all kinds of crazy powers and stuff like that. But that's one of the descriptions. But you know, as far as Vimanas are concerned, like that's one of the traditional translations of a description of a Vimana.
Right.
Now the other Vimanas, the one that they work off of usually for most of the ancient astronaut stuff is from the Vaimanika Shastra. So this is where you get descriptions of these craft, like how they moved, how some of them are powered. So for example, like I said, the Tripura one, it gave examples like there are drawings of it, and it has like retractable wheels. It was somehow solar powered. There's a description of like it being solar powered, somehow powered by the sun and an interaction with sunlight and some type of acid to make it waterproof, so it could go under the water. It was said to have been covered in some type of cloth known as milk cloth. I'm not 100% sure what that is.
What we have here is a transmedium vessel, just like the one we just seen in the USS Omaha release.
And so, like, I mean, and when was this depiction made?
So, like I said, the text was revealed in 1952. Like, technically, it didn't exist to the public, or it didn't exist until 1952. Yeah. It wasn't publicly known about until 1952.
So, like, when's that picture getting drawn? That's my question.
So they're saying that J.R. Josier, the guy who revealed it or brought this text to the public, said it was actually this was written in 1918, somewhere around then. So 1918, 1923.
So
somewhere around
there. Hear me out. Just follow me. If I saw something that came from, let's say, came from the sky, it landed on the ground. I watched it. It lifted off, and then it went and it just took a dive into the water, and I watched it in the water, and then I watched it take off again. And then you were like, draw a picture of it. And I'd be like, hey, well, I'd give it some wheels. Well, it's got wheels because I saw it on the land, and this little propellers because I saw it shoot under the water. So it's got to have something that shoots out to go that, like, that's how I might draw it to explain everything that it did. Like, I was like, when I looked at that photo the first time, I was like, okay, well, maybe he's drawing it because these are all the things that this person saw this thing do. And maybe that's more referring to why we don't see or hear sightings like this now, is because they don't quite look like that. But this is a trans medium, which, you know, we hear about and see lots today.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the literature, the book actually goes into detail, like how about some of these are powered, or like these are what were revealed to the author as power sources for some of these. So you have another one. All of these Vimanas like vary, except for the Shakuna and the Sundara, which kind of look a little bit similar. You have like some of them are powered, like the Shakuna one is like, it's said to fly like a bird. So it's got like, it's the very first Vimana. I don't know if Zell has the picture of it. It's the one that's got the wings and it's got the tail.
It has like a bird on the back. It actually has like, it's like a bird body with a pyramid on top.
Right. So it's like, yeah, it's like a pyramid or like a set that's of the buildings dumbest shit or something
I've
like
ever
that.
Seen. Like, that's not flying. That's not flying.
But in the text, it describes like those wings that are off the sides. Like, he says that those are utilized in flying. Like, those are important for it to fly.
Well, I mean, you need the wings definitely. If you have, because in this depiction, they're using a propeller, so it's got to be generating, you know, some force. So you're going to need wings for lift. Only makes sense.
Right. But the wings move. They're supposed to move like they're up and flapping. Down like a bird. Like, yeah.
Oh.
So, yeah. So the descriptions in the books is saying that these are, like those are, that the movement this is some of those wings.
Some steampunk shit.
Steam.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of these things are
this is like what's Loveless's contraption from Wild Wild West.
Yeah, one of them actually looks like a giant spider. No. So one of the other more interesting ones, I think, is the Sundara one, which this is the one that they describe, like describes actually like the internal mechanisms of this craft in the book. So this thing is equipped with a chimney, gas powered engines, and it's also powered by electricity. Well, a combination apparently of both electricity and donkey urine.
I thought it was mercury and donkey urine.
That's the other one.
Oh, that's the other one. Okay, we'll get to that one.
But what do they have in common? Piss.
We'll get to that one.
These are piss powered engines, but man.
Why the piss?
Better than that.
Why the piss?
And I think the truckers have been tossing their jugs out all these years.
All this gold they've been tossing
fucking
out.
How sustainable piss is, right? Come on now. It's perfect.
We've all seen Waterworld.
Yeah.
It's big, though. It's a big craft. 80 feet.
Yeah, have you seen a fucking donkey piss? It's a lot of piss.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, most of these craft are fairly large. Like, they're pretty huge. They're not small. And so they would require a lot of energy to move them in a, you know, to our knowledge of physics, like these things, if you were to apply traditional aviation physics to these craft, you would need a lot of energy or, you know, something to move these craft. This one, like these actual, like this book was actually taken by a group of engineers, Indian scientists, and from an aeronautical engineering and mechanical engineering departments at Indian Institute for Science in Bangalore, that like they took the book and they actually like made a review of it. Like, they put together an academic like critique of the craft. They put together an entire research paper about it, like going into the claims that these craft were, you know, airworthy. So a lot of the information that you get, a lot of valid criticisms that you get of some of these. But they do kind of try to figure out, like, possibly try to apply some of the principles. So right. Like the Sundara one with its chimney and its engines, they're saying that perhaps, like, they said, well, maybe it could be not just like a craft, perhaps it's a model for an engine itself. So you can have kind of like hot air sucked in through the bottom and it's expelled out the top. But then in the book, it says that the craft moves in the direction of that expelled gas. So the gas is like moving, wherever the gas is moving out, it's moving in that direction.
It's actually,
which kind of,
what? Oh,
way it's moving with the propulsion?
So
if you have your jet engine pushing the gas out, right, it's moving in that direction.
So you need to flip your rocket upside down, launch it, and then fly to the moon.
Well, yeah, like your
chase the flame.
That's how they
baby.
Describe it. Like the expulsion of the gas goes out like the top, you know. But that's the direction that the craft goes in. It goes up. The direction
well, that's
of
not
the expelled
how physics
gas.
Works.
Well, maybe no. Well, maybe we're at some lost technology then.
Exactly. You boys are thinking fucking horsepower. We're talking piss power here. All right.
Different physics at work.
Where it wants.
Different physics at work. Whatever comes out as the exhaust is actually anti-gravitic, and that's why it follows.
Piss power. Yeah, and you can't mention anti-gravity without mentioning mercury
nope.
or mercury-powered engines. So you have the Rukma Vimana, where this one is described to have been fueled by a mixture of both mercury and elephant's urine. Now, I'm not sure if it's elephant's urine like is necessary, like that's vital, or you know, donkey urine could be interchangeable. I'm not 100% sure, but it's definitely mentioned that though it's... definitely made a point that it has to be elephant urine and mercury and some type of mixture are
you got to think used. That maybe the elephant urine that like that's the evolution because they're like, well, you know, what produces more piss than a donkey? Obviously a fucking elephant.
The next logical choice right. is elephant.
When yeah, we hear these things, it makes me think that these, you know, we see these ancient cultures and stuff, you know, and we say it all the time. Maybe it was just because mercury looked cool, but they would have these pools and pools of mercury. But when we constantly see stuff like this and they're, you know, mixing it with piss, I'm like, maybe this was just like fuel reserves. This is where they kept the fuel, right? They were hoarding gas, you know, in ancient times for these Vimanas.
For the fuel.
So yeah, and I would say, yeah, that could possibly be a way, I don't know, maybe that's how they preserve their fuel with donkey or elephant urine. I'm not sure if that is a way to, because we don't know the chemical makeup of this fuel. I don't know if that would be ideal preserving agent.
Why wouldn't you use human? Like, it's got to be something to do with the animal piss, though. Because why wouldn't you just use human piss?
Yeah, it's got to be. Question. It's got to be some.
You know what I mean?
Some chemical in the piss.
It's got to be because like you gotta actively collect that elephant piss. Whereas like you were just like, yo, just everyone piss in this trough and it's gonna go flow to the mercury. So we can power this thing. Like someone's going with a bucket to collect this elephant piss. And it's not like you know when it's pissing. So you got to have like an elephant catheter. This is a big process.
we got a huge production going on to collect enough elephant piss.
Imagine being the guy having to follow the elephant around with a fucking bag and collecting that piss. Jesus.
Yeah. Like I'm trying to think of like the logistics of what would be the best way. If you were like, hey, we've got this Vimana, all we need now is some elephant piss. One, you better hope it's a tamed elephant.
Jesus, because you've got one fucking trip from one elephant fucking piss. It says elephant bladder can hold up to 160 liters of fluid.
Oh, buddy, that's two full tanks.
That's a swimming pool of piss, boys.
Gold mine.
Like, that's a piss pool. Like, that's... All I know is if fucking we were alive back then, that would have been our job probably. Except for Dan. We'd be the guys chasing the fucking elephants around with bags. Yeah, we got it.
Hey, someone's got to do it, and it was probably a very well-respected job.
Probably not, but that's okay.
So yeah, like I said, these are descriptions of craft from a, you know, relatively modern source. So some people would say like, oh, they had these advanced descriptions in ancient Indian texts. And it's like, not exactly. They don't have these 100% unless you believe the claims of the author saying that these were channeled through an ancient holy man ghost.
Okay.
To them.
I want to ask more questions about this because I mean, the internet lore is ripe with Vimanas. So
yeah.
a lot of the places cite that although he channeled these, they're actually like they found actual texts, but you're saying that they actually never did find any texts that translated to the same.
I mean, like the Vamanika, the Vamanika Shastra technically is a text, and they're saying that it was translated from, dictated from a ghost to a person, and that that person that was dictated to them was taking like descriptions from ancient texts.
Okay, so yeah, so I guess, yeah, it just depends where you look, I guess.
But, seems legit.
Yeah.
I mean, we got the same thing filling fucking churches on a weekly basis, making millions and millions of dollars, exact yep. same story. So yeah, I can dig it.
So yeah, and like there's the descriptions that kind of like Daneken and Childress use, like they say, like these are quotes from the Ramayana, like they're, some of them are a little bit paraphrased, like they're not, you can go through and look for them yourself.
There's 20,000 paragraphs or something.
Like you can buy them in English, go to Amazon, you can buy Ramayana or Mahabharata,
the King James, the King James version.
Well, yeah, but it's like, but it's anything, but it's like, yeah, you can buy like an English translation. It's just like Beowulf. Like you've read, like there are tons of translations right. of Beowulf.
Yes, I've seen the movie.
Except for this is real.
Right. Well, Beowulf may have been real too. Michael Crichton made a whole book about it. It's called The Eaters of the Dead. And then Antonio Banderas was in the movie.
Antonio Banderas. Dude, I fucking love that movie.
So,
based so
on
book, good.
Based on Beowulf. Yeah. So, God, yeah, so movie. you can you might be able to write off some of it. You could argue maybe it's just like a difference of translations, like interpretations, like any ancient text. Mm-hmm. Some of these are translated over and over again. And so but like we do have. That makes sense.
If like with the translations and stuff, I wonder if that's when they're, you know, that's when someone's making these drawings is based off a written description of what these things can do. Because some of the drawings look stupid, right? Well, but when you think of like, what if someone's describing it as like this transmedium object of like, hey, it can go on land, it goes in air, it goes in the sea. And someone's like, oh, perfect. Yeah, it's.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to look cool to work.
No, it doesn't have to look cool to work.
Fucking Priuses look stupid, but those fucking things work.
So what about the connection then? Like why? I mean, from what I've read, a lot of these like ancient temples from the area are shaped like the descriptions of these vimanas, like a.
So vimanas are an actual thing.
Yeah.
Like they're not just this craft. They're actually like a piece of architecture that usually go on top of a Hindu temple or things like that. But those actually, like the origins of those go all the way back, like to the original meaning of vimana, which was like, it is usually a palace. It was used to describe a palace of either like a ruling noble or a king. And then it eventually became like a temple.
That's what it looks like though. Like those ones that look like a pyramid, it looks like a floating fucking palace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It totally does.
I mean, that's yeah. where, I mean, where else would the gods live?
I guess.
In the atmosphere of Venus.
Sure.
Mount Olympus.
Mm-hmm.
I guess into my mind is like, okay, well, what's the original inspiration for shaping the top of the temple like this?
Yeah, no shit.
Like, well, it's like, it's supposed to be like a representation of like a castle.
Of the gods and the chariots.
Like when we, like this is a little bit off topic, but not, but like when we went to Chicken Pizza, you saw those like flat landing spots, but you imagine you just place a fucking vimana on there and it looks exactly like a fucking temple.
Yeah, it would just, right? Yeah, it would complete it.
Like, yeah, it'd be badass, like fucking Transformers and shit.
Yeah. Yeah, you could definitely make that
if
argument.
It lands there, then just Chicken Pizza,
Yeah, man.
Yeah, like vimanas are, the funny thing is like they're not even really, I don't think they really jumped into the real like ancient astronaut theory until like maybe like mid 2000, like early 2000s yeah. when they popped in there making that thing. Like I know Daneken had, even in his books, he goes in and talks about not necessarily about vimanas themselves, but he talks about like, you know, descriptions, much like Braden's question in the beginning, like, you know, there's these descriptions of all of these cataclysmic events and, you know, gods wielding, you know, mighty weapons and vehicles and things like this flying across the sky and fighting in the atmosphere.
That sounds
and
all so these awesome.
So
sounds fucking awesome. Yeah. Like, I'd watch it. I might even read it if there's pictures. Like, let's see it.
It's like, so, I mean, there's tons of like Hindu movies like that talk about these things. Like they do these movies like about this. There's a bunch of them. And yeah, so so he talks about these things and these Vimanas. So Vimanas have like now evolved into this kind of, they're very, they're actually like a, now they're kind of like a point of contention in like Hindu culture about a lot of like, a lot of academics and like we said, like the people who had, taken the Vamanika Shastra, looked at it and this, and like people are kind of saying like, yo, I know people are kind of taking things out of context. Like right. These are, so stuff like that, but probably good here is probably a good place to take a break because there's some other internet lore that comes up, which is a pretty there's a pretty good one.
Sounds
that
good.
It's been bopping around.
So all right, we'll
talk about that.
We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
We're back.
We were going to do a Punjabi gym skip, but Zell kiboshed it.
I didn't say shit.
Buddy, what the fuck, Jim? You don't want to fucking do it anymore, Jim? What the fuck?
I wanted it.
Buddy.
I wanted it bad. What the
fuck? Yeah, it would have been great.
I thought it was coming.
It did go on for 35 minutes.
Yeah, that's fine. It was too much. It was awful.
That's fine.
Don't, you know. So. You know how terrible we are at accents. You don't want to hear this shit.
So, like I was saying, so the Vimanas have actually become like a point of contention within the scientific community in India. Like they've actually had them, like they had at least one, the 102nd Indian Science Congress back in 2015. There was a bit of a ruckus when there were claims made in a during one of the sessions. So they had like one of the presenters like come up and do what their kind of talks, and this was it was titled Vedic Science Through Sanskrit, and this was presented by Captain Anand J. Bodas, who used quotes from the Vamanika Shastra to posit that airplanes and flying craft existed in India over 7,000 years ago, and that these craft were not only capable of flying through the skies of Earth, but were also possibly able to traverse the distances between planets as well. And so there was a bit of a ruckus. They said that there was like a big to do in the Indian media about like people getting thrown out of the conference because they were like, people yelling questions, and there were some criticisms of his presentation,
just
and
brawling.
Well, people had to be escorted. They were saying that people had to be escorted out of the room. These kinds of things. Some of it is exaggeration. I'm sure.
I would imagine. Like
a little bit of that. Like some of the scientists that actually got interviewed about it, they're like, "No, we didn't get escorted out of the room. Like we left, really. Like we were just asked to leave by the host."
He's like, "No,
we're
asking them, kicked ass on the way out of the room."
Well, they said that they were asking questions and that the presenters weren't forthcoming, and the supporters of the speakers were kind of already seemed to be heavily biased. And didn't want any questions that would challenge the theories that were being presented. So they kind of, the presenters said they had asked them to leave, and the guys just said, okay.
It was like us when those, the Vulcan engine guys came and interrupted us at 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy. Pretty much. Okay.
Those guys came to ringside and interrupted your promo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They came up there all sweaty. They're like, can we get up there and talk about our stuff? We're like, no.
No.
I see you have extra microphones. I see you have extra microphones up there. Can I get up there and take a microphone and explain my theories on atrocritic craft?
Holy fuck. Sounds like the guy should be asking where his stapler's at.
Yeah. No.
You see my stapler?
His jaw was actually going like this, too.
Oh, so the guy's on GHB.
Oh, yeah. He was on something.
Jesus. So he's sweating and he's grinding his jaw. Yeah. Fucking GHB. We know that, or we could call it applesauce, thanks to fucking Sean 1. Yeah. Or not Sean, Rick 1. That's my bad.
Rick Sean 1, Rick 1 there.
Yeah, Rick 1. Cut that out.
So now Vimanas have not only entered in, like, they're actually, like, in the part of the science, like, academic science arena. They're in there. But you also have them have now become, like, a staple of internet lore, like Vimanas as a type of ancient technology that it existed. They are now kind of, you see articles pop up every now and then. And one of the more popular ones was you see it, there's a couple articles that report that there was a 5,000-year-old Vimana found in a cave in Afghanistan.
That's awesome.
So, The articles kind of vary on their language, but it usually boils down to, in the summer of 2012, the leaders of the most powerful nations and most influential countries.
Canada.
I don't think Canada was on the list.
No?
Nope. No, Canada wasn't on the list. Sorry.
Well, obviously it was a mistake then, Dan.
Big mistake.
Yeah. Sure, I mean, yeah, this huge obviously mistake. Can't be real if, you know, this is not legitimate if Canada wasn't on there.
We probably didn't get the post in time.
And you guys wonder why Canada went on strike. That's the fucking reason right there. Being left out of shit.
So they allege that due to the consecutive visits that a number of international leaders made to Afghanistan in 2012, namely Barack Obama, David Cameron, Nicolas Sarkozy, and Angela Merkel, they were saying that these weren't just visits to troops like in a conflict zone and these things. And I think Merkel also there was some stuff going on about there was an American troop that actually ended up like shooting a bunch of civilians during that time as well. And it was kind of that stuff, but they were saying that they were actually there, or at least during their visits, were there to address the issue of a 5,000-year-old Vimana, the aerial vehicle, supposedly from ancient India, that had been discovered in a cave and had caused the disappearance of at least 8 American soldiers who had been sent in there.
So what?
So now this Vimana is supposedly
some Stargate shit.
Well, and it gets even cooler, because this Vimana was supposedly rumored to have belonged to Zarathustra. Super hard name to pronounce.
Zarathustra.
Yeah, Zarathustra.
Better. Thrustra. I like Andrews.
So anyways, this guy's an Iranian or Persian prophet, philosopher, mystic, magician, miracle worker. So awesome. All around fucking badass. Yep. That lived, I don't know what, between... What do you want to say, Dan? Like 600 BC?
Oh, I don't know off the top. He's the founder of Zoroastrianism, right? Like that's who we're talking about.
But anyways, like this guy is like, they say that this guy was like pretty much built the foundations for modern religions around the world. Like this guy was just an absolute badass. We definitely need to touch on him in the future and do a fucking case file on his religion and everything about
just
him.
On him and his following.
Yeah. Dude, well, Zoroastrianism is pretty cool. Like that.
It's so cool, man. Like just, this is... This case file, the Vimanas, opened the door to this guy. Like for me, anyways, like this is kind of like when we did Elisa Lam, and I learned about Aleister Crowley.
Right.
Same kind of deal. This guy's fucking awesome. We definitely
put it on the list.
Super fucking cool.
So yeah, so that is one of the things. Like I think that differs from article to article as well as to who it belonged to necessarily. But yeah, that's one of the things. But these soldiers were said to have discovered it on a scout mission into one of the deserts in Afghanistan, and they said that this Vimana had been protected by some type of energy barrier that had prevented the troops from extracting the Vimana, but then that these troops had been sucked into some type of time field Like,
yeah, like a time well, like is a, what I read.
Yeah, sorry, time, a well. Time well. Yeah, that's time the well, word they used. Yeah. Sorry, time well.
I've seen like an unbelievably terrible D movie, like Lifetime movie on the same premise.
Yeah, the 2008 hey, movie, The Objective. Relax.
Maybe, right?
Yeah. Some of those made for TV movies, some of them Women's Network. Those are good.
Some of them are
those are good films.
Great actors.
Anyone who spends time acting in those is just scum in my books. Yeah,
sounds like a guy that has zero IMDb.
Zero IMDb over there.
Zero. That's all I hear there. That's it.
I'm waiting for an A-list movie.
Yeah. It says the scumbag in the fucking Golden Knights jersey.
You see this new
turncoat?
You see this new nose? Look at this.
Turncoat.
That's A-lister nose right there, buddy.
I don't know about that. I hear is double barrel fucking breathing up that thing. It's made everything worse.
Double left.
I vote we pinch it back. This guy needs to eat another fucking left hook.
So doing a little due diligence on the story itself, like I went to go in and check in. They said, most of the claims saying that the world leaders had visited within a week of each other. I went back to look at the schedules of when they had arrived there. You had Merkel there in March 12th of 2012. Obama was on May 1st. David Cameron was July 18th. And Nicolas Sarkozy was in the country at July 12th. So not exactly within a week of each other, within a short interval,
couple months, like
that summer,
yeah,
I guess spring and summer. Kind of.
Here's the thing for me is I'm like, so if this is, there's American troops that are there and they've been lost, wouldn't it make sense that Obama would have been the first one there?
Well, it's also the fact that it's like, when would he have time to do there to go to this thing? So how do you ship a president all the way out into the middle of the desert into a conflict zone?
This kind of sounds like a big deal though. A little bit.
They're currently in conflict with that country in this time frame. Like they didn't have a fucking peace agreement until 2020? 2019?
It was an active conflict zone. Like it was still, there was stuff going on.
So he sent his girl Merkel and he's like, yo, report back to me. If this is the real deal, I'll come check it out.
But like Braden said, this story popped up around like 2012 or so like that. This is 100% the plot to the movie, The Objective from 2008. Like there is a movie about U.S. soldiers going and they go to search for an object in the desert, a reported archaeological find. And they, in part of it, there are lines where they refer to it as a Vimana. So it's like, this is 100% the plot to that movie from 2008.
Isn't this not super similar to the Philadelphia experiment though too?
Yeah, it's like the same time warp hypothesis kind of thing.
Well, the whole like being being caught in a time well or a stasis. No, field
did anyone get fused to a bulkhead?
That's what I'm wondering. Do we have bulkhead Bundeep or anything like that? Like,
necessarily because they don't fuse through solid objects. I mean, it's more like a time well. Like they're caught in like a stasis field. I think it's more like it. Like they're not. It's more like.
So you're telling me there is no existence of bulkhead Bundeep? You can swear by that, Dan.
There might be. I don't know.
that's all I need to know.
It's possible. Okay. I suppose. Good.
Okay. So
anything's possible. Right.
Then, so the internet says all these world leaders are going to Afghanistan because there's this.
Vimana. Yeah, that year they're saying that all of those world leaders that attended that seemed to visit Afghanistan within that relatively short span of time within months of each other were supposed to have been visiting in order to see this object and discuss,
what's their
like,
cover
what
story because they went there, we know they went there, but what's
for the troops they're doing a concert for the troops, man.
They all went there for they were going there to visit
for the troops
with troops when Merkel went, like after that there was like a pretty serious incident with a U.S. service member had killed like 12 civilians, and it's probably something to do with that. But it could also be a Vimana. I don't know.
Here's a fucking stupid question. It's dumb, and I'm probably getting too ahead of myself here. But like, so we're saying that these ancient civilizations, they had these cults. How are they not in charge of everything now? Because like, who the fuck dethroned these guys that are flying around and flying pyramids with laser guns, smashing everybody? I don't understand.
Maybe they just left. Maybe they left.
Yeah, but they say like they have two different types of Vimanas. Ones that are piloted by the gods and ones that are piloted by fucking everyday normal people.
Yeah, we crashed all those ones.
And we died.
We weren't very good at flying.
Like, that's, it, don't understand.
Here, here's the thing. When I look at this Afghan trip by the presidents and premiers and chancellors, whatever, I don't know all their
whatever titles. The fuck they're called, yeah.
If I was in their shoes, let's say I'm the, you know, prime minister of Canada, and obviously something comes across my desk, or, you know, they're like, oh, hey, you know, meet with this. You want to go to Alberta and see this and go to Ottawa? And then they're like, hey, by the way, in Afghanistan, we found a Vimana. And I'd be like, first off, I'd be like, what the hell is that?
Excuse me.
And then they tell me what it is. And I go, okay, you found one. And they go, yeah, and that's not all. 8 American troops went in to extract it. And they're stuck in some sort of time loop. I'd be like, okay, well, I'm going there.
Hello.
I want to see this thing. I got
to
see this.
I mean, if you're giving me the option of, if you're going, give me the option of going to fucking there, Afghanistan or Alberta, I'm definitely going to Afghanistan.
Yeah, me too. Honest.
Fuck that.
Well, let's think about, this is not that long after when we talked about Stargates, that one of the reasons the infiltration of Iraq was the Stargate in the Ziggurat of Ur or whatever the fuck it was called.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There we go. Well, maybe that's the reason why they went to Afghanistan in the to begin with.
It started with the Vimana. It took them that long to find it. And in the meantime, while they're in Afghanistan, they found out that the Stargate was in Iraq. So then the military conflict shifted to Iraq to find the Stargate first, which led to the clue to find the Vimana in Afghanistan.
I mean, you could go for both. Get a Vimana, get a Stargate, get two birds stoned at the same time. Perfect. Done. Wrap it up. Let's go.
It's interesting to me that they would go like, is it pretty standard for presidents and chancellors like of this caliber to all go to like hotly contested?
Like, is it pretty standard to come across flying spaceships from the ancient times?
Well, it's not unusual for heads of state to visit troops in like combat zones. Like, that's not unusual. Like,
yeah,
every like usually
musicians, comedians,
at least like
presidents.
Once a year, I'm pretty sure. Like, that's the usual thing. For them to do. It's usually kind of traditional responsibility for them to visit troops that are within those.
That really those seems zones. Like a high risk, low reward scenario.
Well, they land at a military base. It's like they go to a base and it's like, it's usually like a pretty top secret, like when they arrive and all that stuff. So it's not like
jet escort and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. They show up like,
I've never met.
It's a morale thing. Like,
I've never met a president or anything, but like, I'm saying right now, like, I'm not a Justin Trudeau hater or anything. But if he showed up in my town and I ran into him, and he was like, "Oh, shaking hands," and I saw him, I would not
like
go to the crowd of people to like get a handshake with him because I don't care. He's a politician. I could care less about this guy. You're telling me that him the president showing up, everyone's just like, oh God, we're just got to fight harder now.
Well, I mean, he is your boss.
Came.
In the U.S. military, I mean, any military, like, he's your boss, pretty much.
Buddy, could you imagine if fucking WWE Hall of Famer Donald Trump showed up? That's going to fire the whole fucking crowd up, boys. Come on now.
Yeah. I like that as we should only refer to him ever as WWE Hall of Famer Donald Trump.
What else has he done? What else makes that guy real?
Let's leave out the other stuff. Just WWE Hall of Famer.
That was the
old
peak.
Donnie Dorito skin.
I like it.
Good for him.
It's good.
Yeah.
Cue the 10
but if you're trying to dig it, you're trying
Trump
to
haters.
Dig into that one. It is one. It is the plot.
Hey, I think the guy's hilarious. I liked him.
So what was next? I see in the notes here. This one was interesting.
So it's usually when you know, the ancient astronaut crowd mentioned the Vimanas and like the Mahabharata and the Ramayana, like we said before, you can't go without mentioning like the magnificent or the fantastical weapons that the gods seem to wield during their battles and things like this. So you have these weapons of serious mass destruction or magical, almost magical destruction, wiping out entire armies and laying entire swathes of land to waste and things like this.
Blasts more brilliant than 1,000 suns.
Mm-hmm.
boys. That's right, from Sanskrit. So, right?
And so there are certain areas that are usually brought up when talking about the potential existence of not only these flying craft, but perhaps these craft had wielded some type of nuclear weapon, ancient nuclear weapons. These cities usually include the city, ancient city of Mohenjo-Daro, Harappa, and then there's also at least one other area which is outside of Jodhpur, India. So
it's the Rajasthan.
Yes,
that, is that the one you're talking about that's got like the radioactive cinder?
Maybe that one.
It's like north. It's like northwestern India.
Yeah. That's the one. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. So you have these areas which seem to support the theory. Some archaeologists have posited that perhaps like Mohenjo-Daro is usually a pretty big one, and they say that the population had been killed off by some type of atomic explosion around 1500 BC, because that city seemed to have been like kind of wiped out. There are these claims of skeletons that give off higher levels of radioactivity than the surroundings than they should. They say that there are evidence of vitrified like sand and objects, like things that have been both like heated and then cooled off in quick succession. Therefore, could be interpreted as evidence of like an atomic explosion, that there's this extreme heat and then, you know, cools off super fast. So you have like,
they compare it to like the white sands, or what was the testing base for the first bomb?
Oh yeah. Like White Sands or Los Alamos or something like
that. Yeah. So they have high heat. Like,
it's not Bikini Bottom.
Not Bikini Bottom.
It's Bikini something.
It's Bikini Atoll. Not Bikini Bottom. Which is, yeah.
There you go.
Like at those, at those testing sites, they have like, they have nuclear glass from the high heat. That's the only time like sand can form into glass, is at like 1700 degrees, and it only really happens from like, it can happen from like volcanic, nuclear, or like cosmic impact.
Well, and like they, when they exhume these areas too, they have like, they have found like, I think it was something like 55 different skeletons just like strewn throughout these areas that have like, it just in the weirdest positions, that it just doesn't make sense for people to be fucking like die and still be left there. And then when you dig into the, I'm going to fucking butcher it, the Mahabharata, they have records of like individuals that were around these areas that suffered from losing their hair, fingernails, malnourishment, the crops being fucking polluted, and you know what I mean? Like, which all that kind of shit sounds like, you know, side effects of nuclear fallout, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's poisoning. Fucking, it's pretty fucking wild.
Yeah.
I mean, it's either that or food poisoning, right, Dan?
Yeah. Or leprosy.
Leprosy.
I mean, leprosy does that too.
Leprosy doesn't kill the crops and stuff, though, as also reported in some of these.
So, because drought and leprosy can't happen at the same time. I mean,
obviously, fucking not.
Not. Right?
Come on, man.
No way.
What kind of textbooks are you reading, buddy?
So the topic of the existence of ancient nuclear weapons is a big one. So there's actually a couple of claims about how these cities might have been connected, or how these events had probably shaped these areas. So I think we definitely have to talk about this. We'll talk about this on a further case file.
Warrants
a full case.
That's what happened to the Sahara Desert, Isn't that what they say what happened to the Sahara Desert?
Well, the Sahara Desert, the earliest legend that I know is that was caused by the Greek god Helios's son Phaeton dragging the sun across the top of Africa.
Phaeton, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. When he, yeah.
What the fuck you doing, man?
Well, he didn't know how to drive the chariot. So he stole the key, not necessarily stole the keys, but his father gave him the keys or the reins to the chariot that pulls the sun across the sky. And then so in that, he couldn't handle it. And it ended up, you know, setting the world in place.
Instead of chariot, think about Vimana. And instead of sun, he had the fucking torch and nuclear just weapon. Torching this, like, you know, where it says it follows the path of the, like, the propulsion. Mm. He just had it pointed to the earth. It was just like, wah!
Just, boys, we've all been there when the parents toss keys to you the first time and it's stick and you're fucking grinding gears for the first time, wrecking shit. Like, I've been there.
Let's get into final thoughts on Vimanas.
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton more to go through with the, I mean, Vedic texts in general are just like full of like interesting history. So we'll come back to, because the amount of stuff that's in those warrants its own case file. So we'll go back into possible nuclear destruction of civilizations and all the rest in another case file. But as far as the Vimanas, for me, there's a lot to read on Vimanas. Like you can find any avenue, and you could go down the avenue for like hours reading about, because pretty much the theory is that Vimanas were the vehicles of the gods, like the ancient astronaut theory, and the vehicles of the gods were like the, you know, the proto humans, I guess, like they started humanity and we got this technology from them. And the reason we don't find it is because they took it with them, is pretty much that theory. So as far as like, I mean, in all religions around the world, they always have like these crazy stories of like, you know, sky beings, sky gods, people coming from the sky. So in that fact, I'm always interested to hear like what gods are aliens is pretty much what this comes down to again. So this is just another version of gods are aliens. Just for me, when you get into it and Dan's explaining it, and it's hard to link like the story that was given to this, his name escapes me. It was given to him through a dream, through like premonition. It's hard to like get concrete evidence, I guess, between like the texts and the descriptions given in his dream. So, it sounds like Vimana's like it. I mean, they all look like the tops of temples. So for me, I think it's a cool subject, but I don't know. I'm not sold that the Vimanas are exactly as advertised by Childress and company.
I like going through this one and then looking at the pictures and just theorizing about it tonight. You know, it made me think that perhaps, you know, we always hear about these things, all these ancient sites on, you know, these like ley lines and in rows of each other. And I wonder if that had something to do with powering these Vimanas. And then, like Andrew said, is like at Chichen Itza, it's, you know, there's these spots where it looks like landing pads. And if these things maybe traveled from these sites, they travel along these ley lines to another one and they'd plop down and it would look like just the rest of the compound.
Right.
You know, is Chichen Itza going to take off one day? You can't tell me it's not. but like that's what I kind of run to, and then the fact that these things, you know, some were powered by God, some were driven by us. Obviously, the ones driven by us after the gods have left, maybe they fell into states of disrepair. Maybe we crashed them, right? We just didn't know what to do with them. Now, when you look at that Afghanistan thing about the time dilation, it makes me think that maybe these things aren't traveling, but maybe they can, you know, bend time and space. So it's not like they're traveling from distant stars or something, but maybe they can move through time and we just don't understand how they operate. And they visited us eons ago and, you know, that knowledge has since been lost. That's kind of where my brain goes.
I like that.
Well, for me, like, you know, I'm starting to build a nice little fucking database of all these different theories and stories. And
it's about time.
Well, that's the thing. It took me, boys, almost 200 episodes. I'm a late bloomer.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Yeah. I was fucking sporadic for the first fucking 150. Give me a fucking break. Anyways. So I'm starting to see these common themes being built here. And like this right here seems like the Indian version of fucking the Anunnaki to me, right? Yeah. Like it's just, there's all these common themes that are weaving these fucking stories together. And it just leads me to believe like, there's gotta be some small truth in these fucking stories. Cause there's like 90% of the time there is, right? Some of these mythology stories have some truth to them. And it makes me like, I'm really starting to fucking buy in here that there's gotta be fucking something here.
Something.
There really has to be. Like each one of these cultures have their own Anunnaki. They have their own pyramids. They have their own, you know, there's just these common themes everywhere we go. And for a fucking simple minded fuck like me, it's just like Occam's razor. It's like the simplest explanation. Like each one of these people have a story like this and they all have something in common. And especially in times where these people had no way of communicating with each other.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's just, I don't know, boys. It's just, it's fucking rocket appliances, but it's not. So I'm trying to fucking figure it out, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Love it. It's coming around.
That's 100% a reaction to the review of Andrew. We got a negative review saying that we're becoming a skeptic podcast and we should dump Andrew.
I didn't see that one either.
That guy better change his review.
Get out of town.
Oh. Who's that guy?
Who's that guy?
Some fuck nerd.
Suck my ass.
All right, Dan, what do you think?
There's a bit of things like we said before, there is the problem of like the probably perhaps mistranslations or misinterpretations of some of these things. If you want to go back and look through the lens of the ancient astronaut theory and you want to reinterpret all mythologies that the gods are aliens, you can do that. I mean, it's plenty with the knowledge that we have today of the technology that we have now or that we're aware of or that has been conceived in both, you know, not just like science itself, but science fiction. You can go back and look at these things and sure, you can come up with the ideas that, you know, there existed another race or an alien race or an advanced human civilization that had these things. Like, you can do that. That's fine. It's just a matter of finding the 100% hard proof. There is some contention about the Vimanas are being part of a type of kind of historical revisionism within Hindu culture. Some historians kind of view it as this, that there is a certain amount of like pseudo history that's being injected into the Hindu culture at this point from some of the conservatives and like the hardcore religious ones, who are kind of going back and looking at these things, much like we have in the United States. We have parts of the culture that take the Bible literally, 100% literally, all of it, not just some of it, but all of it, you know, and there's some historians saying that there's kind of this movement within India to kind of go do that. Hindu culture is kind of in itself, while it is ancient, it is also a little bit more recent. There is this, if you look at it culturally, you have to admit that like Sanskrit as a language, most linguists and like historical linguists and things like that will say that it's very complicated. It's very complex. It has a lot of grammar rules and it has a lot of stuff, and it can take years, decades to master Sanskrit itself, like the way it thinks. But as it would be, it's a language that evolved over thousands of years. And the thing is, at one point when like India had been repeatedly invaded and parts of India and the culture had been kind of like smashed to pieces, a lot of people, there was a push when some of the kingdoms formed to pretty much only the elites knew Sanskrit. Only the elites would be able to read the Mahabharata and the Ramayana in the original texts. They would only be able to, they would not just like the royalty, not even the royalty, but you would have this elite sect of like religious officials that would be able to interpret and these things. So a lot of the original knowledge and things like that are kind of lost because it was never shared. It was never propagated within the culture. So some of these, you could say that some of these interpretations and these things might be mistranslations or things like that, because there's a lot of history within it that we might have lost something. We might have some of these things, but if you want to read a real fun, something that give you something to think about, Vimanas and like ancient cultures and like that, just read aliens. You want to read Roger Zelazny's Lord of Light, his 1968 Hugo Award winning novel. Like, just read that. It's about all this stuff, and it puts it in a science fiction context, and it's amazing. It's super fun. So if you want to read something like that, like yeah, go with that. All of this stuff is in there.
Zell, let's fire up the Randomatron. Let's see what it spits out for us tonight.
All right, let's dial it up.
Huh, that's weird.
Sound. What? One second. It's fucking skipping on me.
Huh. I've never seen some of these lights before.
What's something? I can't turn it off.
You can tell these readings are off the chart, man.
I can't fucking
it's
turn it
off.
It's
not stopping.
Oh,
what the shit. Fuck?
Close the physical junction.
Hit the failsafe.
Bypassing
for the safe mode.
What? No!
Oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck.
Bypassing program AI.
Flux capacitor must be broken.
Preparing to assimilate with the ether.
Something's happening on my desk here. This thing is...
Dude, I can't even touch my end of it. It's so hot.
What the...
Is it glowing?
It's fucking glowing. This thing is flashing. It looks like, it's all blurry around it, like in an orb.
Shoot, do we power the
it's
studio
like a
down?
Bunch of tiny little portals surrounding it. What is going on here?
What the fuck?
What happened?
I don't know.
It's gone. It physically gone? Teleported. As that was building, it looked like some type of like visual disturbance started encircling it. It looks like it became charged, and then at the end, it vanished off my desk.
Well,
this looks like some kind of Terminator 2.
Well,
like time travel.
It's fucking gone.
I mean, what are we? What's the play now? Like, what are we?
I've never seen the thing to begin
playing
with.
For this.
It had all my fucking samples in it.
I don't even have the UFO casebook anymore because it put it in it. Well, do we just go to the Patreon supporters then? Or Theory of the Week?
I guess, yeah, we'll have to look more into because I don't know, it started talking to us and now it's gone. So
also, last week, Theory of the Week. Who he said Cheyenne is actually Shane, which the weirdest Shane I've ever seen spelled in my life.
That was Shane?
Yeah, he messaged. He's like, yeah, it's all good, boys. I'm a guy. He's like, it's pronounced Shane. We were saying Cheyenne.
It looked like Cheyenne. That's our bad.
Yeah, it's our bad.
Sorry. Who do we got?
That's why you're not supposed to let me read things.
Theorite of the week this week. Andrew, who do we got?
Oh, man, this one's special. This one's special to me for two reasons. First of all, this guy is fucking Theater of the Week because he's sporting our fucking merch next to his 8-foot-tall El Nasty that he's got propped up in his fucking driveway.
That's pretty rad.
Yeah, it looks like he's straight. He looks like he's a fucking fourth member of ZZ Top, all right? And not only is he getting it for all the wicked merch and the awesome fucking El Nasty cutout that he's got, but he also shares... the same name as the Detroit Lions Hall of Famer, Kelvin Johnson. There you go, Megatron. Congrats on Theory of the Week, buddy.
That was a great photo. Awesome. It was a great photo with the...
Dude, guy's a beauty.
The fucking El Nasty picture, like, cutout in his driveway.
Yeah, he looks like he's fucking straight out of ZZ Top, too. Guy's a beauty. Yeah. Wish I'd grow a beard like that.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks for supporting the show.
Hell yeah, buddy. Sweet merch.
All right. If you want to support your boys and get access to early access to case files, the live streams, all the bonus stuff, head over to patreon.com/alientheoristpodcast or find the link tree description in the podcast description here on Spotify. Easy. This week's newest theorites, we got Pike, Divya, Pandya. Someone trying to fuck with me? I don't know. Did something poke out to you guys there? Divya, Pandya? I don't know. Solid Lib. Sean Smith 1. Professor Booty.
Nice.
Colin O'Neill. Jack Burton, Coleman Stewart. What, Dan? What are you laughing at?
Jack Burton. Oh.
Chad, Captain, Caveman, Marks, Kimberly, Venonix, and Jake Ragu.
Hey, very we've much. Come a long ways. We've come a long ways from the time of Zell having to fake names to get people to join our Patreon. And as we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies. See you in after hours.
Peace.
It's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.